Gold bits, podcast. Episode 33 of Black Heart Gold Podcast, Hawkeye State. Adam Jacoby joining you live from various locations in central Iowa that aren't flooded. Jacoby, how you doing down there?
Staying dry. That's about all we can ask for. How about you, sir?
I am trying to stay as unflooded as possible. The house I'm living in has a backyard that's soaked, but other than that, we're doing okay. Not so well a little further north of us. And, we hope everything works out okay in Ames.
Did you hear Story City got 4 inches of rain in 6 hours with all those storms up there?
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
You can't really handle that.
Fun times.
Take it from me, I'm an expert. You can't really handle that. Well, it's almost time for kickoff. We've got, almost 3 weeks left until we kick this thing off. And so we figured it was about time that we sit down with possibly the number one friend of the pants, Mark Morehouse, to discuss August camp to date, the position battles, what the heck is going on at halfback, and if we run out of things to talk about, beer and whatnot. So, Mark, how you doing tonight?
Great. Wait, one of you guys, let me get locations. I thought one of you guys was in the Quad Cities, am I right or wrong?
I just moved to Des Moines about 3 months ago.
Okay, so you're both in Des Moines.
We're both in central Iowa now.
And I know that you were in Ottumwa recently, right?
Yeah, I was down there for work this morning is all. I just drove down and back.
I lived there for 10 months.
It's not pretty down there right now.
Well, it was in 1993, and I covered high school sports, and the kids in 1993 at Ottumwa were all tatted up. 1993, all tatted up. But I'm talking
Was it all Stussy logos?
It was all black. It was all that green ink, with little crosses and skulls. Yeah. It was fun, though. I had a great time. My liver gave out, so I had to leave.
Yeah. Tell you what, there are more bars per block in downtown Ottumwa than any place else on the planet, including downtown Iowa City. It's staggering how many bars they have on the two blocks of downtown.
Well, that's all there is there. Drinking.
Yeah. There was actually one that was even out of business, which shows just how down the economy is. Because if a bar can't make it in Ottumwa, what can make it?
Tonight's podcast is not brought to you by the city of Ottumwa.
No, it's brought to you by Jeremiah Weed Sweet Tea Vodka, as always.
As always.
Yeah. And this tall Coors Light that I'm drinking right now because I ran out of legitimate beer. So, Mark, I guess the big story, we're not going to get into details on the reason behind Brandon Wager because much like Mike Mark and his brethren at the Gazette, we're not in the business of rumor mongering in this circumstance. But Wager's been out for 3 or 4 days. No one's really entirely certain of what's going on other than the fact he's just out of practice. What effect does this have on the halfback battle, and is it really Robinson's to lose, or do you think that Hampton can jump back into it once he finishes his suspension?
Yeah, I think if it continues and if it goes to the ultimate end, he's not around, then I think they need to find a third tailback real fast because usually they need three, or they usually get down to where, they're taking Brad Rogers on the bus up to Michigan State. So that usually it comes down to that guy, and it's nice to have that guy in the pocket. And any Iowa fan who says, and I've seen some of this sentiment, it's sort of like when a recruit that you think is coming doesn't come, we don't need him. You need Brandon Wager because he's a terrific athlete, and he's probably I don't know if he's the fastest straight line speed, but lining him up last year with Robinson, he was the one who was obviously the more of the home run threat. you need them. And without them, you're down to Robinson, who's a great balance runner, does a lot of business for, between the tackles for a guy his size. Very, very strong. I think he's probably his best attribute is his strength, and it's, which is highly underrated. He's very strong in the lower body. Jewel, I think Jewel's might. I'm going to put Jewel with Jordan Bernstein as the two hungriest players on the team because they've had a year, they've missed a year due to injury. But Jewel was supposed to take the job last year, didn't. Had a clear shot at it. He clearly would have been the man last year, and it all went to heck in June with a torn ACL. And Bernstein also had the broken ankle in camp. He had his best shot. So both those guys are going to be really hungry. Jewel is still, you know, he'll be a year off of the ACL, but, you know, the running back and the position and what is asked out of that, I'm not sure if that's enough time. Usually the guy, it's usually the season after the season. So I don't know. We'll see. Number three right now, I'd have to say it's Paki O'Meara. I don't have any other names there. I think DeAndre Johnson also coming off, the recruit from Florida, who I think looks very good. I saw him at the open practice the other day. He's put together.
Yeah.
And I've seen his film from Miami. He's a terrific looking athlete. I think he's still redshirt.
How's his knee?
He's also coming off the ACL. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't think he's in the mix. Coker's not in the mix. He's got a broken right collarbone. And he's probably done for the year. So they need a number three. And I think number three right now is Paki. I know that you guys go ahead and do your thing.
I'm not going to make fun of Paki. I mean, yeah, the apocalypse meter is rising gradually. It's almost into the red zone. It's
rising. Well, you know,
it's kind of orange at this point. It's red orange. It's
fair because he had a shot. He fumbled, and that was the end of his shot. I think that we all saw that there was a definite lack of production. And Robinson came in and kind of saved the day that game against Northern Iowa. So
yeah,
he had a shot, and clearly he didn't measure up to the other two. And right now I think he's number three.
Oh, okay. If Weger does end up leaving the team, you know, if for a year to redshirt or whatever, but if he doesn't play this season, let's say, do you think that they move Rodgers back to tailback instead of fullback?
I don't think so. I think that the die is cast there. Rodgers is a very, very thick young guy. I like the dimensions. I have no idea how he'll play. But he knew the playbook at that position, but I think he seems to be invested at fullback. And at practice the other day, he was with the fullbacks and he was blocking. And Scott Dockerman took some video of that. Maybe they're waiting to see what happens, but I think the way it looks, he'll stick at fullback.
Are they going to go ahead and keep Jason White at halfback for the season just as a backup plan? Or
I don't know. You know what? I looked that up. I think that Plan 6 Days fellow brought that one up, and I looked it up, and they had him listed as a defensive back, and the other day I saw him. I think he was wearing yellow, which means he's on offense. So I think they could easily move him back to him running back if they need him. But right now I don't know the definite plan there.
Okay.
Well, that's pretty much what they did with Adam Robinson 12 months ago, right?
Yeah, exactly. He was a safety for a little while. I thought Jason White was going to make some waves at safety, and they need maybe one more backup safety because, you know, Sash and Greenwood have been injured. Not, I don't want to say they've been injury prone because Greenwood, I think, has only missed like two games and 4 years, so that's not exactly injury prone. They have had shoulder repairs at least
right
in the last two off seasons, so you'd like to have another safety in the hopper. But I think Jason White probably stays at running back right now, just because you never know.
Yeah.
Now the other kind of big question mark on the offensive side of the ball, because it seems the receiver's more or less set. I mean, from what I'm reading at least, and you can correct me if I'm wrong here, it seems that the DJK situation is more or less resolved, at least for the first couple weeks of the season. We're just at least getting a ply. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think right now it's more just verbal jousting to keep the people, I don't know, on edge or whatever. I don't know if we'll see DJ Cade much. He did say the other day at Media Day that he has Tuesdays no classes. So, you know, that's, you know, I'm crossing my fingers on that one. he shows up and that kills a day for me, so I'm all for it. But yeah, I think he's in. I think McNutt's in, and after that, you got Keenan and you got Colin Sandeman.
Yeah. How are they going to go ahead and put Paul Chaney back into that role as a kind of cork back slot receiver, give him the end around all the time?
It depends on how he's back from he tore his ACL in October last year.
Right.
So it's not. He's probably had the shortest turnaround on that. I don't think it's the same as a running back. You don't have to cut as much. It's not as much of a contact collision type position, but they did clearly want to get him the ball last year because of his speed. And I don't know if, you know, has he lost a step? I don't know. I think he's still right up there among the top three fastest guys on the team. So I don't, you know, have to prove himself in that role. He never really did last year. I mean, he was okay. He did some things. He kept teams on their. It was more of a just keeping teams on their toes with that fake end around, so they started to really kind of respect that because they actually gave the ball to him a few times. Mm-hmm. But I don't see that right now off the bat. I don't see him going much. I mean, if you look last year, they had DJ Kane, McNutt, Strauss. After that, they had a pretty big drop off to the number four receiver. I think it went from like 35 receptions to 14. I think it was Sandeman, I think it was Sandeman who was the fourth. So that fourth receiver, I mean. They edit it out really quickly when it gets to games that matter. The number four receiver, it really almost doesn't really matter because that guy doesn't really see much time.
Sure.
Is Keenan Davis looking improved at all?
He looks, you know, they list McNutt at 6'4". I think Keenan's closer to 6'4", McNutt's closer to 6'3". He's a great looking body. He's got gigantic hands. The ball looks like a Nerf ball in his hands. I was going to say golf ball, but it's not quite that gargantuan. That's Stansy.
Really?
Stansy. Yeah, Jesus. His fans are, he's like an alien. But, Keenan is, I think everything's upside for him right now. He just needs to prove it. And when it comes to players like Keenan, you know, last year with Weggert against Iowa State, that was one of the most surprising things of the season to me. Because, you know, all of a sudden, Ferentz was putting out a true freshman out there. And that went against a lot of tendencies, I thought. And I asked him that after the game. He said, yeah, it's taken me a while. I got to get over some stuff. And I think Keenan is the classic example of why maybe he was a little gun-shy. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but, you know, he came in. I think he had one crack of punt return, and he fumbled. And then after he caught two passes against, or I think he caught four passes last year. I think he caught two against Iowa State, and then he never caught another pass of the year and really didn't play very much in the wide receiver rotation. So I think, you know, I think he's got a lot to prove, and I think he kind of needs to because, you know, I don't think it's too big of a leap to say Marvin McNutt might maybe consider going to the NFL if he has a big year because, you know, he'll be a fifth-year senior next year. He seems to love Iowa. I have no reason to believe that he would, but, you know, it's happened. There's precedent for it at Iowa. And so I think, you know, if Marvin left, you'd have Keenan, and Keenan pretty much would be it. So he has some proving to do. I think he needs to gain that trust. And, you know, I know Iowa fans don't like that whole concept, but it's true.
Well, yeah, it's legit.
You guys are more reasonable than most. I mean, you guys know that it's reasonable for a coach to want to see something in practice before he just he throws him out in the game and say, he's got it. Let's see what happens. Lightning in a bottle.
Well, and especially Ferentz. You know, it's not like Lane Kiffin stuck in the sidelines in Iowa City. You know, Ferentz is about as old school stodgy as they come, other than Joe Pa, anyway, in the Big Ten anymore.
Mm-hmm. I'd even say that we're more stodgy than Joe Pa anymore.
You think?
I mean, who else is running like the 11 across punt formation? Even Paterno's using the rugby punt now. I think we're actually more conservative.
That could be playing to his strength, though.
Like, that's absolutely true, I think. Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. But I don't even think we'd even consider moving, you know, by any means. By the way, last year Davis had four receptions, two against Iowa State, two against Arkansas State.
Yeah.
55 yards, one touchdown. Yeah.
So five games in the season, he never caught another pass after that.
Yeah, and he was done after that.
He was barely even on the field.
Yeah, they say he saw action in every game, but I can't remember ever actually seeing him.
Punt block, maybe.
By the way, the HawkeyeSports.com bio for him says that he was born in 3091. So there's a reason why he's this good.
Holy crap.
He's sent from the future.
I smell a bit here, and I love it already. I'm on the ground floor of this one.
And we're off and running.
You'll be like your Terminator. He'll drop out of the sky naked and save John Connor.
Oh, don't tempt us. It's really late in the offseason.
I'll put it out there for you. Come on, point. This is gold.
All right, well, go ahead, Adam. This is going to be scary. I can just feel it.
The best part is it's just 1/3091. They've already done away with months at that point.
Yeah, you know, if we're still around then, we'll just measure time and get heartbeats.
Or Glarbex or something. I assume aliens will have conquered
us at that
point.
It's Stardate.
Oh, yeah.
Duh. I mean, come on, really. Wrath of Khan. Okay, speaking of freshman potential receivers, Polish Hat, is there any indication so far as to whether or not Fedorowicz is going to redshirt or if he's going to step right into that second tight end spot? The reason I suspect he won't, just unplug my mic there for a second. The reason I suspect he won't is primarily that you think that your tight end two would be a blocker, and he doesn't seem to have a whole lot of experience with the blocking game.
I talked to his coach, and I asked him flat out, "Well, is this just biding time now before they say, hey, son, how about you try a left tackle?" And the coach said, "Absolutely not. It's just something they've not even asked him really to block when they were playing Johnsburg. That's where he was, Johnsburg, Illinois. They didn't ask him to play a blocking tight end role. Maybe a handful of plays a game, maybe like three. It was not even a drill that he went through. He was more of a spread wide receiver, a slot wide receiver in that. He played actually free safety his senior year because if they put him a defensive end, everybody just ran away from him. So they put him in the middle of the field so he could do something. So that tells me, hey, this guy's got uncommon feet. He's a legit 6'7". He's a legit 250. He is a weight room warrior. His dad, you know, brought him up in the weight room. He passes every look test that I would give, and I think he plays. I think he plays, and I think he plays well. And I'm not sure. I know coaches are pretty high on Brad Herman. He's a program guy, and he took a bullet his freshman year. He took off the red shirt because they had injuries.
Yeah.
So I know there's a high degree of comfort there. But I really think Fedorowicz sees the field. I'll bet it'll be in certain packages.
But you don't think that he's gonna like start ever or anything, right?
It's hard to say. I if he comes in and he catches 6 to 8 passes a game and maybe breaks one, for 20 yards. If he picks up, really with all the freshmen right now, it all matters what they're doing right now or in practice. If they do. You know, because remember Dominic Douglas, of course everybody remembers him. He had a great August, and that's why he started and was terrific his freshman year, because he came in from day one and showed a terrific maturity level and never backed down from any drill and just kind of proved that he belonged. I'm not sure what's happening with those freshmen right now. I know James Morris was getting a real good look. I'm not sure if he's cracked the three deeps or not. I think he was a middle linebacker in the three deeps. And you know, I did a story on him for the Gazette that won't be in until Sunday. But he told me we're walking out of Jonesy's in Solon, I'm going to predict right now in 3 or 4 years, Fedorowicz will be an NFL draft pick. So I thought that was high praise from a kid who Morris. If you guys talking to him, he's going to be a lawyer. He's a very very bright kid. I'm predicting he'll be a lawyer or a senator or something along that line. Just an amazing awareness, a fantastic public speaker. I don't think he's not full of crap. Fedorowicz, he might see something. I mean, he has done the 7-on-7s against him, so he has a little bit of experience going against him.
No, I wasn't saying that Morris was full of crap or anything. I was just saying that that seems really patently obvious that he's going to be an NFL pick. Like, that's not really going out on a limb.
Yeah, yeah. But I think he plays. I think he has physical attributes that, you know, if they can tap into just a little bit this year, it's going to be worth it.
Now, the only position battle left on the line, technically, is probably center, but how certain are we on Zusevic and Geddes, and, you know, who seems to have the leg up right now at center? From the pictures I'm seeing, it looks like Copples has been running with the first team primarily, but that doesn't usually mean a whole lot at this point in the year.
Yeah, we'll find out. We'll get a look at Saturday, and that's always my first place I look. I don't know why, because pretty much everything Iowa does stems from the O-line. So Keppel is running number one right now. I don't know if that sticks. I think that's a good sign that shows that, you know, fifth-year senior is taking the reins and has grabbed the position. But so far in camp, they've only worn the shorts and the shell, so we'll see what happens when, you know, they really start getting going. Geddes is a well-liked player by coaches. I mean, I'm going off of what we've seen. We've seen him in the Northern Iowa game, and it wasn't very good. I hate to admit this, but one of the first games that I deleted off the DVR was the Arizona game. And Coach Farron says he's seen him in that. He played in that, and he played well in that. I don't remember him for the life of me in that game.
I just watched that game two weeks ago,
and I don't remember a thing about him.
did you watch it again? Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember that. And so I'm going off the Northern Iowa game. Yeah, a lot of work to do. But right now it looks like he's being handed the keys to the car. I think it's up to him to, you know, this is one of those balls in the court things. Balls in his court if he wants to keep the job. Obviously, he's going to play better than he has. I think he's very, very physical, and he's roommates with Mike Daniel, and I think thunder claps when those two run each other in practice. They are just two very, very large gentlemen, and I think he's feisty, and I think he's got what he's missing, I believe, is consistency and showing up every day to practice and you know, acting like you want to be there, or, you know, just getting it. And I think he, for as far as physical goes, I think he's got that down. You asked about Zusevic. I really like the kid. I did take some time to interview him at Media Day, and just a great, funny guy. Kind of gets it. He admits, you know, okay, Callaway was 320 pounds. He's not. He said 290 or 295, but
well, he doesn't look 295.
I think that's he's a large young man. I don't think he's quite in that range. But you know what? That's okay, because I hate to go. I don't like to rip on Callaway, because I think he's a terrific player, and I think he played pretty well toward the end of last year. But I happen to have watched the Wisconsin highlight, and you guys probably remember. I watched the Wisconsin game recently. And you guys know which player, one of my favorite players in Big Ten, Chris Borland, the 5'10 defensive end / linebacker / whatever Wisconsin wants him to play, he goes and plays it. Well, anyway, he ducked under Callaway's slow to getting to him. Borland ducked under him, sack stands, he fumbled, and the defense really had to nut up. I think inside their 20 it was, and I think Wisconsin missed the field goal.
Yeah, they
so,
did.
So, big play, because Callaway was a step slow. Well, I think Zusevic would have a shot to get to that, but I don't know if Zusevic would be able to do what Callaway did, which is just pure power and Hulk ability. He doesn't have the pure bulk that Callaway has, and nobody in this offensive line has the pure bulk that last year's offensive line had. And so I think that'll change their style of play a little bit. I think they're going to be a quicker, more of a zone team that just kind of creates chaos up there, but That remains to be seen. I think out of the three, I think Zuzovic sticks. I think Geddes has some proving to do, and I think Keppel's going to be looking over his shoulder every day at James Farren.
Yeah. Do you think...
Long-winded. I just should have said that, probably, huh?
It's all right. Long-winded's good.
Yeah.
Mark, I'm an attorney. Believe me, long-winded's good.
Do you think Woody Ornay, it's French, has a shot at taking Adam Geddes' spot?
I think he was looked at as a tackle fairly recently. Yeah. But now
everyone plays guard for Ferentz. At one point or another, everyone plays guard.
You're right. Right in practice the other day, he was lined up with Nolan McMillan, and I think Scott and I looked at it at a couple different angles. This is what we do. This is our job. Look at these pictures and try to think. I think Scott figured out that McMillan was the I believe was a left tackle, and Warren was filling in a left guard. So I think that's the way that's going to go. I think that's the number two. But I, you know what, Ornay, the guy is 6'5", 4", 290 pounds. He's already broken a weightlifting record at Iowa. I love the fact that he started school at Fairfield Maharishi. That means there's some depth there, at least in the head, that I really like players like that. This is his first year really being in it. Because last year he transferred in, so he didn't play. Mm-hmm. So this is really his first year he's being counted on. And a lot to throw at a guy.
Yeah. Well, especially for a guy who really, he was a redshirt at South Dakota State. I mean, he wasn't necessarily thought of as even, a go-to guy there until he blew everybody up for a season. And it's a bit of a step up in competition from South Dakota State to at least all Big Ten teams other than Minnesota. I had to get a shot of Minnesota in there. It's just, I have to get that.
Benjamin Dawson, thank you very much.
Yes, he'll be happy to hear that. Well, I think offense had the more question marks, but they seem to be slowly kind of falling into place. Defense, on the other hand, I don't see any real competition. You talked earlier about Bernstein being one of the hungriest players in the team because of the injury last year. Is Hyde set in stone now? I mean, is it going to be his to lose and Bernstein's once again on the outside looking in?
Yeah, I really think so. I think Hyde's the guy. I think that when they threw him in the Orange Bowl, I think that showed me that. Boy, I use the word that there a lot, but that showed me he's coaches trust him. Hey, only the biggest game of the year in front of national TV, go in, and true freshman, and they put him in, and he's been the number one guy all along. I don't see that being unseated. And Scott's doing a story on him out of camp, and he talks to a lot of wide receivers about. I think he and Keenan are pretty good friends. But when they practice, Keenan hates Hyde, and you like to hear that. You like to hear a guy who goes to work and doesn't care if it's, hey, here's my Xbox, buddy. No. He goes after him, and he wants to win every fight. So you like that. I think he's the guy there. As far as any other, I think Tyler Nielsen, they've not blinked on that one either. I mean, he must be A.J. Eads' doppelganger because I think he's in. I think Mike Daniels is an important player in the defensive line because, especially now, Benz has he has one game suspension.
One game, yeah.
I'm blanking. Yeah, okay, one game. With the heat on the defensive line and you guys saw the video, Kaczynski doesn't let these guys sit around. He runs after them and he coaches them up and it's a high intensity position. I think it's probably the toughest position to play at Iowa defensive line. And they run those guys through the ringer. And I think early on with the heat and going to Arizona, I think Mike Daniels is going to play quite a bit. I think they're going to find a way to get him on the field. Other than that, on defense, you worry about safety depth a little bit because of the injury history of those guys. I mean, they've been injured, but they've played. And I think they're two tremendously tough guys. But, they both have been under the knife. And corner, I really like Prater. I think Prater is underrated. I know a lot of people were down on him last year, but where else were you going
to
throw
the ball?
He was
good last year.
Were you going to throw the ball against the guy from the – is that not with the Lions? I don't know.
Yeah. No, I was really impressed with Breider last year. I thought he might not hold up, especially in run support, and he was great.
Yeah.
I had no qualms about him at all.
Oh, I was just going to say, I think the really important part is going to be if Hyde or Prater go down for a game or two, I think it's going to be really important that Bernstein's still healthy at that point, because Iowa really, really suffered when Lowe or Castillo were at that left corner position, because they were there against UNI and Arkansas State. Those are two teams that Iowa really should have blown out, but they kept giving up third down completions right at those guys, and they ended up being, you know, two wins by a combined 4 points.
I always thought that you put your best corner on the left side, and I don't know why. I think because Revis is over there, and that's the way they do in the NFL. Always the best corner on the left side. I think Charles Woodson's the left corner. So I thought it was interesting that Iowa had Spavey as a right corner the whole time. But you know, I digress. But you're right. I'd like to think it was a year that Willie Lowe, who is the fastest guy in the team, and
really,
yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, well, with Chaney being hurt, Lowe, people were asking that the other day. I think it's the same person who was measuring biceps.
God,
please.
Like a Super Bowl media.
Please tell me it
really
was Pat Harvey.
It was like a Super Bowl media day for a while. It was. But that was a little, good little bit of information.
Wow.
One of the fastest guys on the team, so.
You know, no offense, Mark, to you and Scott, because you do really good work, but hearing that and hearing that people were clapping after Ference's presser just make me just hurt. I really.
I left. I didn't hear the clapping thing.
Oh, God.
But let me tell you, I would say maybe about 25% of the people in the big room there for the Ference main press conference at Media Day were real press. I think so. Had a lot of guys wearing Hawkeye hats who might have had a notebook out in the car.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't get how it. I think what Iowa does is they let anyone in. They let anyone who asks to be in to pretty much to Media Day, so they can stiff them when they ask for game credentials. I kind of think that's how I would do it.
Well, we've never really asked for press credentials, and I think we have pretty good reasons why, but that just kind of reinforced it when I was hearing, you know, people are clapping and we're measuring biceps and whatnot. And
yeah, it's Media Day. I've lowered my expectations from what I'm going to get from Media Day. I just try to do the best I can.
Let me ask you this, because you were both this year and you're both most years. Which is the more futile exercise, Iowa Media Day or Big Ten Media Day?
Iowa Media Day, by far. Big Ten Media Day, there's more of a gob of people, but you can at least get a few questions in edgewise with four people from Iowa, with three, you know, the three main players and the coach. At Iowa Media Day, this year I asked Ference about DJK, and that's the only question I asked, and then I went down to the field to wait for Ken O'Keefe. I know I'm not going to get much out of him, so I don't have really any expectations for Media Day, but I think Iowa Media Day is a little tougher exercise than Big Ten.
All right. Well, I got one final question for you on the team, and then we can move on to other things if we feel like it. But, it seems, especially on defense, not so much on offense because a lot of guys have had a chance to play. But on defense, I feel like we are incredibly top heavy right now. That, you know, we talked about Mike Daniels, but there really isn't a proven defensive lineman outside the four that are starting. And, you know, at linebacker, we've got just a ton of upperclassmen and guys who have had a little bit of experience, like, you know, Johnson and Tarpinian and Jeremiah Hunter's had more than a little experience. Safety, it's literally too deep. I mean, there's nobody even in the second string that makes you feel okay. Where's the spot on the defense where if we lose somebody, we're really going to have trouble?
Well,
aside from every place, apparently.
I think safety probably right now. I just don't see a proven guy who's played in games. I see some nice, prospects there, but I don't see any proven commodity, or even just semi-proven commodity. After that, I think if Claiborne, there's no real number three defensive end. I think LeBron Daniel has been talked about as being a good player, but he's really not seen the field. So I can't say, oh, no worries, LeBron Daniel will take over. No, you can't say that at all. you need to see him do something, I think. I think Dominic Elvis is way too early in his development to really come and be to be counted on. And Joe Forgey, I think he's a good-looking player. I mean, he's a good 250, 260. He's what you want out of defensive end, but also he's not played, and I believe he's still a walk-on. So defensive end depth is sort of a hole. I think LeBron Daniels the third, but I also think Christian Ballard could easily be the third because they have Mike Daniel. McDaniels, and they have Christian Ballard, and Ballard's played end, and he can be pushed out because Daniels is such a good tackle. So I think end, and I think safety. I think corner they're okay because they have Bernstein, and they have good competition there. But you bring up top heavy HS, and I think that top heavy describes a lot of Iowa's defense right now, and I think I don't see how when I go to write the Lindy thingy that I can't say defense is not going to be a question mark. I think it clearly is.
Oh yeah. Now when it comes to the defensive ends, it is the number three pretty much interchangeable between right and left, or is LeBron taking his talents to only one side of the defensive line?
I think it's interchangeable because I think it's built that way. I think I was kind of built that way, like a number three corner, a number three defensive end, a number three offensive tackle. I think they have the next best, and they just kind of fit them in wherever. I don't think side matters as much on defense. I think responsibility does. I think they have each different responsibilities, wide side of the field, defensive end, rush side, or short side. But I think to just go for number three. Who is my next guy at that spot? And I sadly brought up offensive tackle. I don't know who the third offensive tackle would be right now. I suppose Norlin McMillan right now, just by going off those pictures.
How about Casey McMillan?
Yes, please talk about the McMillan.
I have not heard his name mentioned in a meaningful way yet, so still work in progress. He's a great basketball player.
He's especially good at throwing other players at the hoop. Yes.
I think he's one of those guys who had to come to Iowa and have his body rebuilt a little bit because I think he was probably heavier than he should have been, and now they're trying to make him really be that heavy with lean body mass, and that takes time.
Yeah.
We don't have time. America needs Casey McMillan. Big Montana must see the field immediately.
Well, I don't see it happening this year.
Yeah. No, yeah. When you had the video of Klug at Big Ten Media Days, when you asked him about beating up the young players, and he volunteered McMillan's name without being prompted. That's not a good sign.
Oh my God! Somebody watches those. I remember him saying that. I remember thinking, I know this one's going to get out.
Yeah. Yeah, that one. That hurt. That hurt my feelings quite a bit. Big Montana does not like.
By the way, Klug is salt of the earth. Awesome dude. I wanted to go squirrel hunting with him this summer, but I ran out of time. What's that?
He's a big fisherman, isn't he?
Big cat fisherman. That's the one fish that I don't even like to touch.
Yeah.
But, he tried to get Claiborne up to his family's land in Caledonia. Claiborne said, I don't like camping. I don't like going to the bathroom outdoors. Makes sense.
Kind of ironic because of the dog.
Yes. He has Ace.
Ace takes care of that for him.
Have you ever actually been to Caledonia?
No, I golfed in Decorah once, and there was a sign that said, I think it was 20 miles from Caledonia, or from Decorah to Caledonia, so I imagine it's sort of like Decorah, which is beautiful. I mean, it's rolling hills and lots of timber.
Well,
in the middle of nowhere. He said there's one set of stoplights in this town. I think that says it all.
Yeah, it's really, really small and agricultural and farmy. And I was like, we were driving through from Chicago to Decorah. And so our route took us through Caledonia. I was like, oh boy, this is Carl Klug's town. I can't wait to see what it's like. And he's not kidding. There's one stoplight. And you get the sense that none of the roads were paved until about 30 years ago. And even now, they're only at about 60% pavement.
Well, that's a metropolis compared to some of the places they found players. I've never been to Livermore, Iowa, where Dallas Clark's from, but I'm guessing you probably have to look really hard to find a beer that's not made out of mash or wood alcohol. Because that's a small town. Where else have I been? Emmitsburg. I went out to visit Bruce Nelson a few years ago. And that's a decent-sized town in Iowa, but in life, that's not a decent-sized town at all. So
right.
they find their guys where they find them. I mean, right now, I think the guy from the guy from the smallest town right now might be Dakota Getz. Yeah, they find them though. Iowa scratches and claws for these guys. And what I love about it is when they turn out to be good, it's a fantastic story.
Yeah,
and I'm greedy that way.
Well, look at Dominic Elvis. I mean, Dominic Elvis, I'm a little bit biased in this one because he was from Logan, which is about 8 miles from where my parents currently live.
8 miles.
My dad works for a neighboring school district that will not be named because he would be embarrassed to have that get out. But my dad said, like, you know, I can't even figure out why they're after this kid. I mean, he's good. He's clearly the best player on the field when he's playing us, but you know this is small school Iowa football. He's not going to. It's going to take him years before he's ready to go. And now he's sitting second string defensive end after being initially a gray shirt.
Right.
So yeah, it happens.
Are we secretly hoping that Dakota Getz becomes a success story? Just so we can hear Brent Musburger say, "The young man named Dakota Getz." In honor of Brandon Wager.
I don't see him playing running back. Actually, I've heard that Dakota Getz is now on defense somewhere. I don't know where. Yeah.
Really?
But I don't know. Have that nailed down. But I heard he might be on defense. So
he's another classic.
It makes sense because they had an army of tight ends.
Yeah.
An army.
Yeah.
Well, it seems that they've gotten Iowa recruiting has gotten to where. If you're about between 6'3 and 6'6 and you weigh between 225 and 250, you're right in their ballpark if you've got any production whatsoever. They'd be happy to bring you in, find a spot to put you if they can, and let it roll. The parade of people coming in this year, we have Fedorowicz, who, I mean, like you said, by all accounts, could be an NFL tight end in 3 years, and yet they're still going out and recruiting tight end-ish guys over and over and over again just because they know they can kind of, you know, form them into whatever they want to form them into and plug them in.
Mm-hmm. And big-time tight end guys, the kid from Ohio, Ray.
Oh, yeah,
Hamilton,
four-star kid.
Yeah.
He has like 599 offers. And then the other guy, Jake Doozy from somewhere in Michigan, he had 499 offers. So I think the future tight end is going to be Fedorowicz, Doozy, and in the Hamilton. I think Henry Krieger-Koble, I think he'll probably be an O-lineman. And I think they brought in one other tight end-ish guy that I'm blanking on. Well, I know they're talking to Christian French now about maybe playing wide receiver, so
yeah.
That means they're full up on tight end.
Yeah, they officially have plenty.
Are you sold on Christian French? Or is it
not as a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Not as any
like
kind
he's
of
a freakish
receiver.
Athlete.
He caught one ball last year. I think his future's on defense, and I think he's a guy you have to recruit and try to make into a defensive end. And I think he's a defensive end. Great range, great athlete, great speed. He's sort of like just a lump of clay that you want to form into some sort of football player. I just don't see it at receiver. That might just be me. I just looked at the stats from last year. The kid Max Martino, who's a presidential scholar and walking out at UNI basketball, caught 45 passes for him last year. So yeah, maybe he was the main guy, but I want to say it was one or four passes for Trench. So
yikes. No, not for a receiver.
I would wager a guess that the reason that they're telling him receiver is because recruits like to hear that they're going to be on offense and get, you know, to score touchdowns and catch the ball and stuff like that. But I really wouldn't be surprised to see him move to defense by, I don't know, the third week of practice.
Yeah. It's tough. It has to be, and people just think, oh yeah, just flip him over and no big deal. But you got to realize that I talked to Wegger about that last year when he was being recruited, and his dad, that they've recruited him as a running back, and he's going to play a running back, and same thing with Derby. He's going to play quarterback until it stops making sense for him, until he sees the writing on the wall and says, wow, they brought in this kid from Florida. They have I'm sitting behind Vandenberg for 2 years. Sandy this year. They brought this kid in from Florida. They'll probably bring in another kid next year. He's going to stay at his spot until it stops making sense for him. And who's to say when that is? I can't say that because I don't know. I'm not there at practice. I don't know how he's progressing. But I think with a guy like French, I think you're going to bring him in what you can. And then try to sell him something later, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that log jam's just going to get worse when AJ Darby moves. So, I think
actually, you know what? I think his best position, and it's a different body type, so this is kind of a stretch. But I think Darby'd make a heck of a defensive end.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot of people. I think you probably started it, but because you usually start these sorts of things. Way to go, Morehouse. But a lot of people were talking about that when the rumor was going around from the source that will not be named. You know, I said I see him as the next Eads. I mean, really, if he wanted to play defense, and there's no indication he would. And mm-hmm. If he wants to play quarterback, more power to him. But if he moved to defense, I could see him bulking up and going to defensive end, but he's almost already set to play that cover linebacker that we always so desperately need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's 6'4", 220, and he can run.
Yeah, and he's got he clearly knows what a quarterback's going to do. I mean, he's got maybe some experience with it. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's playing quarterback now. So
he's a QB.
He's a QB.
He's still there.
Yes.
Swagger's not.
Hey, and AJ Eads has successfully petitioned for 2 more years of eligibility.
yay!
Hey. All right, well, I think with that, we'll probably let you go. We've had you for more than enough time here on a lovely Wednesday night, and we'll let you get back to the family. But we want to thank Mark for joining us, as always, and remind everybody to catch him on Iowa and at the Gazette. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem. Take care.